Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Here at Money FM 89.3, I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Welcome to a special Chasing Cars feature on Caro, which marks its fifth anniversary with over 500% year-on-year revenue growth in September 2020. Ernest Chu, Chief Financial Officer at Caro, joins me on the phone to talk about their success thus far, their new investors, and what's next as they move towards $1 billion in revenue in the next 2 years. That's the plan. How do they plan on achieving it? We ask. Next on Money FM 89.3.
Chasing Cars with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to a special Chasing Cars on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. I'm joined on the phone by Ernest Chu, Chief Financial Officer at Caro. Ernest, welcome to the show.
Hello. Nice to hear from you.
It is a pleasure to have you. This is very exciting times for you. Some of us are being challenged by 2020, but it looks like you are having a phenomenal year.
Thank you. There's a lot of challenges to address.
I think to run a successful business, there always would be. Now, Caro was founded in 2015. You've had stellar performance retailing thousands of cars across the markets in Southeast Asia. Now, your site says agile, digital first approach. And first of all, I should congratulate you. Or maybe it should be a happy anniversary. 5 years down the road, you're currently Southeast Asia's largest car market. Tell us a little bit about the vision that led to this in a relatively short period.
Firstly, thank you very much to have me on the show. The vision has always been to build an end-to-end car online marketplace ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Alibaba for cars, the goal. Bring transparency, new level of seamlessness, no hassle experience, and speed, primarily around used cars. We aim to leverage digitalization and tech to bridge the trust gap between buyers, sellers, and dealers. There's a lot of words in there, but really what we try to bridge here is the industry pain points, distrust in the market, and making used car purchases as seamless as possible.
Did you start as a one-stop, we service you on every aspect of your car purchase, or did that sort of evolve?
I think we originally started out with a vision to build a marketplace. Mm-hmm. And as we look at how else can we make this more interesting, is really the other vertical, which is financing, insurance, after-sales workshop, and that goes with reconditioning of cars. So really, it's an ecosystem play around how do we ensure that folks who want to buy or trade cars, use cars on the system, find it very easy.
Right. Okay. Now, 2020, as I said, has been phenomenally challenging for many different sectors, for businesses, the global economy, and yet Caro has managed to generate over 500% year-on-year growth. You need to tell us how you did that.
We did achieve record high monthly revenues after achieving about 500% growth. It sounds like a very big number, and it is. Now, more importantly as well, we did this profitably. Our EBITDA was positive in the last three quarters during the pandemic. And I think it's really down to a few strategic advantages. Number one being we are one of the very few online automotive marketplaces with tech at the core of everything we do. We understand the automotive industry and its pain points. And we leverage tech to provide very practical solutions and alternatives. We aim to tech-enable our entire process. This includes customer acquisitions, machine learning, pricing algorithms, and AI-powered defect detection. So these are the things that are still being developed as we speak. Now, given the pandemic, we are now a beneficiary of an acceleration of trend towards a digitalized and contactless car purchasing experience. So then I'll move on to number two. Number two is whenever we look at building a business, we aim to be profitable, we aim to be sustainable with strong growth potential by using tech to improve operating leverage and scalability. We aim to avoid making deep losses despite strong growth potential. Proof is in the pudding, let's say. We hit record high monthly revenues and EBITDA at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think really we like to thank the trust given from our financial backers, both from the equity side as well as the debt side, have secured a strong cash and liquidity position that would enable us to power our vision and growth. This is bolstered, I think, by close to about $150 million in debt financing facilities and additional equity this year from our investors. So this year, we had Mitsubishi Corporation and MS&AD to join us as strategic partners. And maybe the fourth point really is everything we do, customer experience, we take it very, very seriously. We aim to provide a delightful experience, and we track feedbacks very, very closely. Now, last point I'll say is to what you read on your website, that's true. We as a startup, we aim to be very nimble. We continuously innovate. We feel the pulse of customers and immediately act on those, leveraging tech and data analytics. So if I were to summarize some of these things in a nutshell, I think we believe, given these advantages, we are in a better place. We are well-positioned to enable the future of car ownership around transparency, trustworthy, and seamlessness.
We're speaking with Ernest Chu, Chief Financial Officer at Caro. Now, you've given me a lot of information to digest there, but let's go to one of the first things that you said, speaking about strategic advantages. Yes, you are very agile. Clearly, you are the beneficiary of circumstance and the digitalization push that COVID-19 created. But you need the management and you need the vision and the know-how to pivot the right way. So, I mean, kudos to you because clearly you did pivot the right way. But how do you bring it together? What kind of management style exists in Caro? This is to inspire other businesses, startup businesses, homegrown businesses. What kind of management style did you apply to get it done and stay nimble as you're growing?
I think the outright credit as a starting point is to our CEO and our co-founders, who have very strong foresight on various things. I think what they've done is they've built a great team, a fantastic team with relevant experience and skill set one would need to build a company and the various products. This includes local people in the various regions. The teams work very, very collaboratively, very instantly in many ways. So I came from the corporate world where people rely just on emails. A lot of our communication is actually done on social media. So WhatsApp, we get an instant reply. We get decisions over WhatsApp. And these are done very seamlessly and very quick. I think also people recognize that we can go out and experiment new things before committing significant resources to perfection. So what we continuously do is learn, improve, and innovate. Avoid building white elephants, particularly around tech. But at the heart of it, remember to keep the customers happy.
I see. You did bring up your $150 million in debt financing facilities and additional equity from new investors. Now, these investors are big boys, Mitsubishi Corporation, Japan's largest trading company, and MSNAD Ventures, which is, you know, venture arm of a large insurance group, seventh largest insurance conglomerate in the world. I'm just wondering, with that new cash injection, with their support, what's the first focus now?
I think on the debt piece, let me start with the debt piece. Mm-hmm. Firstly, startups don't normally qualify for debt funding. Right. So for me and for us as a team, $150 million is quite outstanding in the midst of a pandemic. I think this enables us to provide a very integrated and seamless financing solution to car purchases as well as to support our subscription and leasing businesses. Essentially, these are financing products. Then with our other equity partners, so Mitsubishi and MSAB, you're right, they are very experienced. What I would also say is, in this region, the Japanese automotive brands have a very long history and strong market share. We have always believed that Japanese investors will be additive to our overall course. They bring the Japanese keiretsu and close relationships to us. We've seen that working. For instance, Mitsubishi, they have a long history and deep experience around automotive. We can and have a lot to learn from them. MSAB, which owns MSIG, is a leading insurance conglomerate globally, as you rightly pointed out. So we have a lot to learn from them around the insurance products that we want to increasingly do on our platform. Now, without being specific, I think we are in deep partnership discussions with a lot of them across the entire vertical e-commerce, financing, and insurance space.
I am curious, and I think a lot of people are curious. Now, there is this target, $1 billion in revenue in the next 2 years. Is that doable? How doable is it? And how do you work towards $1 billion in revenue?
I think where we are looking at is doubling or tripling our annual revenue growth. Mm-hmm. We have very high expectations. Now, how do we do that? It's a combination of a lot of organic push, as well as maybe even some inorganic growth, complementary to our ecosystem. I think when we put it all together and we look at the total addressable market in this region, we are still at $1 billion, would still be a small fraction of the total addressable market.
Right. Okay. That's a huge market that you are potentially tapping into then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the other key beneficiary I've forgotten to mention is tech. We are tech enabling a lot of things. So I think we look at it as a way of improving the industry, bringing more convenience to the space. Now, I'll give you one example. So used cars, in the past, it's been a very difficult transactional experience. So with a platform like ours, it's a lot easier to transact used cars. The ratio of new to used cars in this region is very low compared to in the mature market. So in the mature market, it's three used cars to one new car. Then if we increase the churn or the ease of people transacting used cars, it becomes a large addressable market. There's huge growth potential around that.
I want to ask, what you talk about customers and them being at the forefront of everything that you do and the reason you continue to push to do better. What has changed in customer behaviors and preferences because of COVID-19?
So when we went into the pandemic, we had some challenges initially, but we are very quick to adapt. We learn what are the issues. Given the pandemic, the automotive industry as a whole is forced to shift away from the traditional ways of buying and selling cars. This kind of works to our favor. Online e-commerce, even with cars, has become a global trend, and it is just is set to continue even after restrictions ease. Singapore consumers, for instance, have adapted to life with coronavirus, practicing safe distancing measures. And this is really a breakthrough everyday habit. We see this digital purchase of cars eventually becoming part of the new normal. So what we've done and how we've reacted to that is we've launched contactless online purchase of cars, so digitizing the entire buying process, essentially. When someone buys a car from us, We aim to deliver the maximum trust, comfort, exceptional experience, as well as safety at an affordable price. And you can now browse our certified cars online, view the vehicle's history and inspection report, use the loan calculator and arrange same-day financing, procure insurance, and finally, contactless collection with peace of mind, return policy and warranty, all from the comfort of your home. Needless to say, all the cars are sanitized, and we have also seen this trend in the U.S., parts of Europe, and China. And as a result of that, we have a lot of conviction that this will continue and become a worldwide trend.
Right.
Likewise, when someone sells a car or trading a car, we aim to provide transparent pricing, no-hassle experience, and speed to market. The other thing I'll say as well, customer changing behavior. So we have a proprietary pay-as-you-drive usage-based insurance. It's also an industry first in Singapore and in the region. As you cope with less driving, you want to pay less. This makes sense. So that's a win-win outcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, before I let you go, we said at the beginning, Caro is a fabulous success story. There are a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs out there who are probably listening to this and go, how can I turn my idea into this success story? How do you balance the aspiration with the application needed to turn that great idea into a success story?
I think I go back to what I said earlier. First, you must have a great team. You need to assemble that team. They must be equipped and they have the relevant skill set to develop the various projects. Then continuously add on and upgrade. Secondly, then go out and experiment. Experiment, don't be afraid of failure because that's where you learn. You learn and you improve and you innovate. Then lastly, I'll say have a vision grounded in reality, which balances growth, profits, and cash burn. I've seen folks who pivot to one side without considering the others. You need to look at it in totality and have it balanced. There's no point building a supposedly perfect vision of a company, but deeply cash flow negative and unsustainable.
We really appreciate the wisdom. We've been speaking with Ernest Chu, Chief Financial Officer at Caro. Ernest, thank you for the time. Thank you for the sharing.
Likewise, my pleasure.
And good luck on that journey to $1 billion. I think I'm going to be having this conversation with you sooner than 2 years to congratulate you on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the support.
I'm Clarissa Montero. This is Money FM. I hope you enjoyed this special Chasing Cars Business Edition.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.